next week will relax rules for many retailers, gyms and sports clubs, but could be stricter for pubs and restaurants. And every household in Northern Ireland is to be given around £200 to encourage spending on local high streets. BBC News.
With Vijay Alice. Now, you, someone who has the gift of the gab, will spare a thought for the contestants in tonight's Just a Minute, who've all been hired for that quality and will have to speak on that subject after this.
Drama on BBC Radio 4.
Say your prayers and be better.
Max Porter's lyrical, mythical novel. Exploring what happens to a rural community when a child vanishes.
The village is always watching.
Someone knows.
Come out, wherever you are.
If I listen hard enough, I can hear him.
Lanny.
Lanny?
Lanny knows me.
This Thursday afternoon at 2:15 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Now on Radio 4, a classic 6:30 comedy with a classic quizmaster at the helm.
Welcome to Just a Minute.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world. But also to welcome to the programme four exciting, dramatic, talented people who are going to play this game. And today they are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Zoe Lyons, and seated on my left, Jenny Eclair and Rufus Hound. Please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject, and they're going to try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me is Hayley Stirling, who's going to run the stopwatch for me, and she'll blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House. And we have a lovely, hyped-up audience ready to get going. And we can begin the show this week with Paul Merton. Paul! Oh, a lovely phrase. Apples and pears. I'm sure you know a lot about it, but tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the subject apples and pears is Cockney rhyming slang. Apples and pears mean stairs, and this hidden language is invented so that policemen and people that you didn't want to hear what you were saying would be baffled by such phrases as apples and pears. Now, it was first believed by Dr. Justin Scrunt.
Rufus has challenged.
There was a hesitation.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Rufus. That's terribly sharp. And well, I know you haven't played it much before. And I know you're keen.
He's setting a standard.
The problem is that because I know this game is played to be a game, that if I don't buzz, Paul will think less of me.
I will. Whereas now I think more of him.
I don't think it was... Even if he paused, I don't think it was long enough to challenge. So, if you'll forgive me, I can say it's an incorrect challenge.
I'm delighted not to have to do anything.
Well, Paul, it was an incorrect challenge, so you get a point for that.
How many seconds left?
42 seconds still available. And you start... Apples and pears, starting now.
The apple and the pear. Let's consider them both in detail. Oh, no, let's not.
Zoe, you challenge.
That was definitely a hesitation.
Zoe, correct challenge. A point to you. Take over the subject. 36 seconds available, starting now.
Apples and pears, of course, come in very many varieties. My favourite pear variety is the conference pear.
Rufus, challenge.
Variety?
Yes,
oh.
Repetition.
No. One was varieties and one was varieties.
Yes.
She slid the words
plural
together.
And singular.
Her diction was sloppy. I would say sloppy diction, but that isn't part of
I'll
the
take
rules.
Sloppy diction.
Just a minute. Sorry, Nicholas, it's your job to do that.
No, but no.
If I can't win, at least I can be helpful.
Well, Jenny, thank you for your helpful backup. I didn't know you were going to do that for him, but I was exactly what I was going to say. But I wouldn't have said it as well as you did. All right, incorrect challenge, Zoe. You still have the subject. 30 seconds available. Apples and pears starting now.
My favourite apple is the gala apple that does very well at swimming events. It sort of bobs around.
Paul.
Repetition of apple.
Yes, because it's apples in the plural.
Oh,
ooh.
I know.
It's so easy.
There's someone
who's
played the game a lot, yes. Because on the subject is apples and pears.
Apples and pears.
It's a wicked game, isn't it?
Even my sloppy diction couldn't get me out of that.
Paul, a correct challenge, a point to you. Take up the subject. 23 seconds available. Apples and pears are starting now.
Eve stood in the Garden of Eden. She proffered the apple to Adam, and he said, I'd prefer a pear. But this was before Carry On film, so it was not seen as an ironic, sarcastic, sexual remark whatsoever. The apple stood proudly. Before it, the pears...
Oh, Jenny, challenge.
Hoist by his own petard. He repeated the singular of apple twice. It sounded like plural because the apple stood, but it wasn't. It was the apple.
All right, darling, don't go on anymore. I agree with your challenge. He was in the singular there. And you've got him with a point, Jenny, and you've 7 seconds on apples and pears starting now.
Women are either apple or pear in shape. Apples, women...
Oh, new challenge.
Hesitation, I'm afraid.
Well, I think it was. We have to interpret that as hesitation.
Yeah. And I repeated women.
Yeah.
I know. The only reason I was hesitant there was because it was only 1 second to go.
Oh!
Shame, isn't
it? So, Paul, it was a correct challenge.
Shame.
So we give it to you. 1 second. Apples and pears are starting now.
Coxes! Conferences!
So, for those interested in the score, it is obvious at the end of that round, Paul is definitely in the lead. Zoe, we'd like you to begin the next round. Well, here's an interesting subject. A road trip. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Life can be considered something of a road trip at times, just bobbing along, trying to avoid the potholes along the way. My favourite road trip that I ever did was in Australia when I was in my 20s and had things I could just...
Rufus, you've challenged.
I just thought I was being helpful. Yeah. Zoe looked pained.
It was hesitation.
There was hesitation. You were right this time. Absolutely. And you've got the subject and you've got 45 seconds. You tell us something about a road trip starting now.
Four young men squeezed into a Vauxhall Cavalier on their way to Cambridge. This was 1999.
Oh, Jenny challenged.
Are there lots of nines in 1999? Spiteful and petty.
1999.
Oh, different. Yeah.
My maths is appalling. I'd like to apologise to everybody. I'm sorry, Rufus.
No, it doesn't matter. That's the fun of the game. Challenging and trying.
Yes.
And
getting
Rufus,
it wrong.
Rufus hasn't played so much, so I'm delighted he's got a point. And you've got the subject, Rufus. There's still 37 seconds for you on a road trip starting now.
And so it was that we set off drinking a box of wine directly from the...
Zoe Challenge.
Surely that's against the law.
Well, it could be against the law, but he might be telling a true story.
Yeah.
This is true, but I was just concerned for health and safety there, Nicholas.
He still wasn't hesitating, deviating or repeating anything. So we got another point.
I am not too big for pity.
31 seconds available, Rufus. A road trip starting now.
When we arrived, it was to visit a friend of ours who was at the university there, and we proceeded to be absolute tearaways.
Jenny challenged.
Hesitation.
It was a hesitation, yes. 23 seconds available, Jenny. You tell us something about a road trip starting now.
It's very important to prepare for a road trip. I suggest a large bag of wine gums per 100 miles. Also, a pork pie in your glove compartment, little sachet of English mustard. Just because we're travelling doesn't mean we're not savages. We are not savages. Oh!
All you challenge.
Repetition of not savages.
Mm. Yes.
Sadly.
I protesteth too much. Mm.
I know, and once again, you Paul, you've got him with 3 seconds to go. Yes,
If I were you. I there must be somebody we can write to
those
about
are it.
Those are the rules of the game.
There's no clock he's watching here to see it ticking down or anything like that. You know, someone's got a challenge if she makes a mistake, and it was Paul came in first. 3 seconds, Paul, a road trip starting now.
Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, the road to Morocco. Also...
Right. So Paul Merton was again speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He's increased his lead ahead of Rufus Hound and Jenny Eclair and Zoe Lyons. Right. I remember one show you were on, I called you Zoe Gale, didn't I?
That's right.
Because that was my period, you see.
Yeah.
She was a lovely singer in...
1846.
Yeah. Often get confused with people from that period.
You don't look a bit like her, darling. She was red-haired and sang. She was in Strike a New Note at the Prince of Wales Theatre.
Yes, 1943.
Well done, Paul. Yeah, I can't give you a bonus point for that. Oh, no. Rufus, we'd like you to begin the next round. Do you know anything about Halley's Comet?
I know something of it.
Oh, good, because that's the subject, and you have 60 seconds if you need it, starting now.
Halley's Comet comes around once every 75 years or so, and this I know basically because the last time it so did was in 1986, and I was 7 years old, and the teacher at the front of the class explained to us that the next time this...
Jenny Challenge.
Time. Twice.
Time comes on the list. Halley's Comet is with you, Jenny, and there are 45 seconds starting now.
Halley's Comet actually appears on the Bayeux Tapestry. Did you know that? It was deemed to be a portent of either good or ill, depending on which side you were on. Also, Halley's Comets, or...
Zoe Challenge?
A little bit of ran out of steam there, a little bit of hesitation.
Yeah, yes, we interpret that as hesitation.
I thought of something clever and then it stopped.
Yeah, that's the story of my life, Jenny. Oh, I have nothing on
you
this.
You thought of something clever and it stopped you.
Zoe! You had a correct challenge. You get a point for that. You take over the subject. There are 30 seconds still available on Halley's Comet. Starting now.
Halley's Comet would make the perfect house guest because it appears so infrequently. Once every 79 years is about right for a visitor to one's own home. It can be seen by the naked eye, which is good because eyes are normally naked-y.
I'm going to say repetition of I.
No, I
and eyes.
I and eyes. Singular and plural, it was, yeah.
What did you say, Zoe? You said I and eyes.
I and eyes.
Yes.
I and eyes.
Oh, well. We like keenness, but it was too much. 14 seconds are still available. Zoe, you've got another point. You have Halley's Comet still starting now.
Of course, it's best to observe it through the lens of a magic kaleidoscope type thing that scientists use when they put towards their ocular...
I felt an enormous sense of pity upon me. And I felt I was rescuing.
I totally knew what I was going with.
Hesitation. It was hesitation.
I couldn't remember the word for a telescope.
Kaleidoscope wasn't a bad go.
It was pretty close, wasn't
but
it?
With a kaleidoscope, you tend to see lots of shiny colours.
Yeah. I like the idea, though, that we'll get the Hubble kaleidoscope.
Yeah.
What have you found? Everything!
Paul, there's still 5 seconds available.
Don't worry, I'll make them seem longer if that's what you want.
I have to reiterate, those are the rules of the game. That's how we play. The challenges and everything, we make it fun.
So enjoy yourselves! Stop booing!
I love having you on, Rupert.
Yes.
Because you let us know that you're here.
I'm the enforcer. That's how I like to think of myself. Paul's Gary Lineker, just hanging around near the goal, knocking them in at the very end.
5 seconds, Paul, still available. Halley's Comet, starting now.
Halley's Comet was, of course, first spotted by Sir Edmund Halley, who wrote in a book, I've seen it.
So Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's only 2 points ahead of Zoe Lyons, and she's only 1 point ahead of Rufus Hound and Jenny Eclair in that order. If you're interested in the points, we're more interested in the fun. And Jenny, this is a very intellectual show because we've now got the abacus.
Oh.
It's a bit challenging.
Can't you swap him with something else? But it's not going to be very good.
Well, darling, that's the subject that's come up, the abacus. 60 seconds, Jenny, if you want it, starting now.
The abacus, as we all know, is a wooden frame with rods and similar material balls which one can slide along, used for counting in the olden days before apps, when we still had fingers. And these days, of course, we don't have to bother with any...
Rufus Challenge.
Repetition of days.
Oh, yes.
Days.
Yes, at the beginning you said those days, the abacus, and then in days again. It's gone very quiet, hasn't it?
So I'm weeping silently, it's fine.
Rufus, you've got a correct challenge. I've got another point to you. Take over the subject. There are 38 seconds available. The abacus.
Good luck, mate.
Starting now.
Sorry.
Well, I think I confused you, didn't I?
No, Zoe confused me, and she did it deliberately.
Well, yeah, no, it's not fair. We won't count anything on that. I must say that you have got 36 seconds, it was, the abacus, Rufus, starting now.
Benny, the music you write is derivative. It's the kind of thing that only a moron would come up with, said Bjorn, and thus the abacus was born.
I'm almost inclined to give you a bonus point for inventiveness. But who challenged it? It was Zoe, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was.
And what was your challenge?
It was a bit of a hesitation. After a beautiful delivery of abacus, though.
Zoe, it's still the abacus. It's 25 seconds available if you want it, starting now.
Every primary school child when I was little had an abacus in the classroom, and we would sit there counting our beads in absolute delight of the marvels of mathematics. Four little red knobbly things on the little...
Jenny, you challenge first.
Little,
yes. Correct challenge, Jenny. Another point to you. Six seconds available.
Six seconds.
Yes. Six, that's all. Starting now.
The abacus that my grandmother left me in her will was an item of such...
I'm surprised nobody challenged you for deviation. Did you really leave it in her will?
Yes, she left me an abacus. No, of course she didn't.
That's what I thought. Right. So Jenny Eclair was then speaking to us. When gained that extra point, she's equal with Rufus in second place, 1 point behind Paul and one ahead of Zoe Lyons. Paul, we're back with you to begin. Paul, the subject now, Margate. Tell us something about that resort in this game, starting now.
Margate by the sea, the home of William... Who's William Turner?
Zoe, you challenged
first. There were two Williams in there.
I didn't mean William Turner, I meant the painter.
Is it William Turner?
It is William Turner. It is his name.
Yeah, I was right all along. You turned on that too soon.
Never mind.
Zoe jumped in with 56 seconds still left. Another point to you, Zoe, and the subject is Margate, starting now.
Margate, that classical Kent seaside town so well loved. The last time I visited Margate was to perform a gig in the winter gardens there in said Margate. It's a beautiful Victorian building perched near the sea. I like to eat fish and chips when I go to Margate because it's the thing you do while you are beside the coast. Also, it does have quite a strong art history to it. Not only is it the home of that aforementioned painter...
Sadly, hesitation.
Well done. You went for many seconds there. Don't know how many, because I can't subtract.
I had no idea that much information on Margate.
But, Paul, the 24 seconds available
24,
still.
24, yes.
Yes. You've got another point. You've got Margate. You've got the subject of Margate, I should say. Starting now.
As I wandered around the late-night streets of Margate, I was aware that there was a pair of burning eyes burning into the back.
Rufus, she honest.
I was a bit quick off the mark there, but it felt like a hesitation. But it could have just been an in-breath, a dramatic in-breath.
It was.
I immediately stand down.
It's nice to hear from you. But it was an incorrect challenge.
Fair enough.
And so, Paul, you've still got Margate, and you've got 16 seconds starting now.
Tracy Emin is somebody that lives in Margate, and indeed she has contributed to the new art gallery that has been built nearby. It is a wonderful building, and many people travel from all over the world and say to themselves, I am going to see the hidden treasures of Margate.
So, Paul Martin... Speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, has increased his lead at the end of the round. Zoe Lyons, we're with you to begin. And the subject now, the gift of the gab. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The gift of the gab is something that the four people I am playing this game with have been naturally given at birth. We are able to talk without deep...
Paul Challenge.
No, I had to learn how to speak. I was probably about 14 months, 18 months. I wasn't born with a gift of the gab. It would have been a hell of a surprise for my mother.
You just popped out. Ta-da!
Hello, how you doing?
Technically speaking, you're
well, a hell of a journey.
Yes, yeah, I'm glad to get out of there.
It's interesting because, in a deeper sense, you could be born with a gift, but it didn't express itself till later life.
Oh, well, yes, that's true.
But it's just latent. It's just waiting to be...
It is a latent gift.
It's a latent gift. It is. So it is there, essentially. It is there. It just needs to be teased out.
Teased out, yeah.
Yeah. I have the dilemma, who do I give it to?
Good, Zoe.
Paul, as you're in the lead, Paul,
Zoe can have it.
Well done, Paul, you're very generous. Yeah. So we leave it with you, Zoe, and you still have 52 seconds to tell us... Tell me about the gift of the gab of starting now.
I have many friends who have been bestowed the gift of the... Oh,
right. Jenny Challenge.
How hesitation and deviation
there was
from
a hesitation,
language
yes.
that we
there
recognize.
Are 44 seconds are still available. You had a correct challenge, you got a point. The gift of the gab starting now.
What do you buy someone with everything? The gift of the gab. Trouble is, I've got draw loads of gabs I don't want anymore. I have small gabs, big gabs, pink gabs. Oh, gabs. I know what I've done.
Yes.
Oh, is it the old singular and plural?
You've over gabbed.
Zoe, you challenge.
Too many gabs.
Yes.
Too many gabs.
Yeah, too much gab. 35 seconds are still available. The gift of the gab with you, Zoe, starting now.
Despite having lost this initial round slightly early... Oh! I can only apologise.
Why?
That was a definite little hesitation.
Yeah, it was a bit of a hesitation.
It was a bit of a hesitation.
Yes. It was. Yeah. All right, Paul, you have 33 seconds still available on this subject, the gift of the gab, starting now.
So I went home the other night. I said, this fella, how much you want for that car? He said, well, I wouldn't normally tell it to anybody, but I'll let you have it for a fiver. Oh, yeah, that's not bad, so. So I went and got a horse, and I said to the horse, will you... Oh, no, that's something like
that. Zoe, you challenge first.
There were two horses in there.
Yeah.
There was a galloping with the horses.
Zoe, correct challenge for you. 24 seconds available. The gift of the gab are starting now.
Paul was referring there to the Blarney Stone, which is in Ireland, and if you do kiss said piece of...
Rufus, you challenge.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation. So you're all going to have a go on this subject. 17 seconds still available, Rufus. The gift of the gab starting now.
I have a six-year-old daughter called Hilda who undoubtedly has the gift of the gab. Very happy is she to bicker away.
Jenny Challenge.
Well, I think... Why did you call her Hilda?
It certainly can't be challenged on what we've called our kids.
I'm teasing. I actually think it's a delightful name. I was being stupid. Sorry about that. Does she wear a headscarf around there? Does she go to school with a curlers in her headscarf? Eh? Does she smoke a little fag to start like that, eh? Eh, Stan? What are you doing? Are we back passage, eh, Stan? Eh? Sorry, this has got... I don't know where I've gone with this.
Jenny, we enjoyed your interruption so much. And the animated demonstration you gave us will give you a bonus point for that. But it was an incorrect challenge. Yes. Because she can't challenge on the name of your daughter, really.
Well, and considering that was a challenge by a woman named after patisserie...
Ten seconds still available, Rufus. Gift of the gab, Rufus, with you, starting now.
What I have found interesting, however, is that as a little girl, she is often accused of being a chatterbox, but if it was a boy, he'd be told he was confident. So why do we deride women for speaking up and yet...
So, Rufus Hound was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and we are moving into the final round. That's very kind of you. Thank you.
Just very quickly, the answer to the question, why did we call her Hilda?
Yeah. Was it sponsorship?
We do have...
We have a journalist in from the Daily Mail, so it was Margaret Thatcher's middle name, and it's a fitting tribute.
What a thing to put onto a child.
Yeah. Yeah. She got the easy line, though. My son Adolf is furious.
I'll give him a bonus point.
And Hilda Hound? Hilda Hound?
Hilda Hound.
She's going to be a rock star.
Or cartoon. One or the other.
I said we were moving into the final round.
Yes.
So I give you the scores we do. It's very close. Jenny Eclair is just trailing 1 point behind Rufus Hound and Zoe Lyons, and they are just 1.5 points. 2 points behind Paul Merton. Rufus, we're back with you to begin.
You lucky things.
Pompeii. Pompeii, Rufus, tell us something about that amazing place starting now.
I was taken to Pompeii at the age of 13 by some middle-class parents who were definitely posher than the parents I had. I was so pleased with myself for not saying middle-class twice that I said parents twice.
Yes. Two sets of parents.
I know. Oh. But, Jenny, you've got in first. We know what the challenge is. Repetition. You have the subject of Pompeii. There are 51 seconds available starting now.
Pompeii was one of the few times at school I sat bolt upright and listened. What a tragic tale. You know what happened? This Vesuvius thing blew its stack, spewed its guts all over the city of Pompeii, freezing people as they went along their business in molten ash and fetid fumes.
Paul Challenge.
Can you be frozen in molten ash? It would seem to be two extreme temperatures going on there.
Yes.
Do you end up sort of in a tub of warm water?
Yeah, I think we could interpret that as deviation, really. Paul, the correct challenge, and there are 24 seconds available for you on Pompeii, starting now.
From my youth, I remember the television series very well. Up Pompeii, starring Frankie Howard, written by Talbot Rothwell. I don't know if our esteemed chairman, Nicholas Parsons, ever worked with the aforementioned comedian, but he has virtually been employed with every great star of the show business firmament. Pompeii, when we think of that magnificent place, we come to mind the images of people saying to each other...
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went and gained an extra point. Paul, knowing the way you pull my leg regularly, I'm surprised you didn't say that I was actually there. It's the sort of thing you often do, but you do it so well.
I wish I'd thought of it.
Well, we have an interesting situation here. We have three people equal in second place, Zoe Lyons, Rufus Hound and Jenny Eclair. So, Paul, you've just got ahead of them, and so we say you are the winner this week. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine, exciting, humorous players of the game, Paul Merton, Zoe Lyons, Rufus Hound and Jenny Eclair. I thank Hayley Sterling for helping with the score and blowing the whistle for me so well. We are indebted to our producer, Victoria Lloyd. We're deeply indebted to the creator of this amazing game, Ian Messiter. And we're indebted to this lovely audience here in the radio theatre who've cheered us on our way magnificently. From the audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons and the team, thank you. Tune in again at the same time when we play Just a Minute.